1 Samuel 23. David heard that the Philistines were attacking the town of Keilah and were stealing the corn which had just been harvested. So he asked Yahweh, "Shall I go and attack the Philistines?" "Yes," Yahweh replied, "attack them and deliver Keilah." But David's men said to him, "We have enough to be frightened of here in Judah. It'll be much worse if we go to Keilah and attack the Philistines there." So it sort of made sense what they were saying, but then God's way often doesn't make sense, because we read before that David was in Moab with his parents, a neighboring country, and he was relatively safe there because Saul wasn't king there. And then God tells him, go and return to Judah, which might have seemed stupid, to go back to the very area where Saul was. And you might have thought, well, best for David to just sit quiet and wait until Saul dies and then he can become king. But God wants him to be more sort of active than that. And David also has got so much love in his heart that he sees his brethren suffering in Keilah, and he decides that, well, maybe I should go and help them. Now, this is real love. It's like if you're carrying something that's really heavy. And we think of Jesus carrying the cross. You might be so taken up with carrying it that you don't notice a child's toys under your feet, and you might tread on a favorite teddy bear, or you might tread on, I don't know, a little toy, because you're so focused on carrying the big weight. But the mind of love will look and think, well, nope, I am carrying the big weight, but I'm still going to watch out for other people. And it's like Jesus, when he was carrying the cross, he still turned and looked and spoke to the women who were weeping, and he comforted them. And so it is here that David is very, very stretched and stressed, being chased by the men of Saul, and yet he has such a heart in him for others. And of course his men say to him, "Look, this is crazy. We're frightened here. We're going to go and open another front of attack with the Philistines." So David consulted Yahweh again. And Yahweh said to him, "Go and attack Keilah, and I will give you victory over the Philistines." So David and his men went to Keilah and attacked the Philistines. They killed many of them, took all their cattle, and that was how David delivered them. When Abiathar, son of Ahimelech, escaped and joined David in Keilah, he took the ephod with him. Saul was told that David had gone to Keilah, and he said, "God has put him now in a place where I can get him. He's trapped because he's gone into a town that's walled with walls and gates." So Saul called his soldiers together to march against Keilah to besiege the city and take David. When David heard that Saul was planning to attack him, he said to the priest Abiathar, "Bring the ephod here." David then said, "Yahweh, God of Israel, I have heard that Saul is coming to Keilah to destroy it on account of me, and I am your servant. Tell me, will the men of Keilah hand me over to Saul? Will Saul truly come as I've heard? O Yahweh, God of Israel, I beg you to answer me." Yahweh answered, "Saul will come. And will the men of Keilah betray me and my men to Saul?" David asked. "They will," Yahweh answered. I think the significance of the ephod is that it had these two stones, the Urim and the Thummim, inside it, and they seem to have flashed out yes or no answers to questions of the type that David gave to them. And so this was awful, that David had risked his life, had gone to maximum effort and stretch to go and deliver Keilah from the Philistines, and they were so ungrateful that they would have betrayed him to Saul. Being ungrateful is awful, and this is what people are. They're so ungrateful, and yet still you go on living the life of love, even though other people are so ungrateful. And that's exactly what David managed to do here with these people. And of course, this is the ultimate lesson of Jesus, that he so loved us on the cross, even though so many are so ungrateful to him. So David and his men, and they were now about 600, left Keilah immediately. and kept moving. When Saul heard that David had escaped from Keilah, he gave up his plan. David remained in hiding in the hill country in the wilderness around Ziph. Saul was always trying to find him, but God would not hand David over to him. David recognized that Saul was indeed trying to kill him. I think that reflects how he's realistic. There's no point in looking at people who say one thing, who say they love you, who say that, no, it's all okay, that was a bit of a mistake. But actually, clearly they have an agenda of hatred towards you. And that little phrase there, David recognized that Saul was trying to kill him. You have to recognize it. You have to recognize that person hates me. That person, that is how they are. And I just keep away from them. And that's what Saul did. There are people in your life who will hate you and will try to destroy you. And you just got to keep away from them. There's no point in engaging with them or being where they are. Just walk away. David was at Halesh in the wilderness near Ziph. Jonathan went to him there and encouraged him in God, assuring him of how God would preserve him. He told him, "Don't fear my father Saul. He won't be able to harm you in the end. He knows in his heart that you are the one who is to be the king of Israel and that I will be the second in command after you." So David and Jonathan made another holy covenant of friendship and loyalty to each other. David remained at Horesh and Jonathan returned home. So again, you see these two men serving God in different ways. David on the run from Saul and Jonathan trying to do what he could for David from within the city and within the court of Saul. The men of Ziph then went to Saul at Gibeah and said, "David is hiding in our area at Horesh on Mount Hakilah in the southern part of the wilderness of Judea. And we know, O king, how much you wish to capture him. So come to us and we'll make sure that you capture him." Saul replied, "May Yahweh bless you for being so kind to me. Go and make sure once more, find out for sure where he is and who's seen him there, because I've heard he's very cunning. Find out the sort of places that he usually hides out in and bring me back a report immediately. Then I will go with you, and if he's still in the area, I will hunt him down, even if I have to search throughout all the towns and villages of Judah." So people think, oh yeah, if you're on my side, then God must be with you. And that's a very false assumption. He says, "Oh, may God bless you, because you've been so kind to me." So they left and they returned to Ziph. And David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon, in a valley in the southern part of the desert. Saul and his men set out looking for David, but he heard about it and went to a rocky hill in the desert of Maon and remained there. When Saul heard that, he went after David. Saul and his men went on one side of the hill, separated from David and his men who were on the other side. They fled from Saul and his men who were chasing and closing in on them and were about to capture them. So this is like a cone, a hill in the shape of a cone. David's going around one side, Saul's going around the other, and David's getting higher and higher. He's one side, and Saul's the other. They're going round and round and round, but of course David's ultimately going to end up on the top of the cone. And then Saul is going to capture him and kill him. And so David must have thought, well, I'm getting higher and higher. I'm only getting higher and higher towards God. God help me, this is it. And he must have thought of the promise, "You will be king." And we'll see now how God saves him from what seems certain death. Just then, a messenger arrived and said to Saul, "Return immediately, the Philistines have invaded." So Saul had to stop chasing David and went to fight the Philistines. This is why that place is called the Hill of Separation. David left and went to the region of En-Gedi, where he remained in hiding. So that was pretty amazing that God would save his people, David and his people, in that way. It just shows that if you truly love God, he really does come through for you. And somehow his word will come true. In this case, that David would be king.